And a good afternoon. It's Catholic Answers Live coming into your radio, wherever you happen to be, or your tablet, your phone, your gadget. It could be any number of ways you're receiving the program nowadays. Thanks be to God. Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you happen to be. I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett today. And it is a wonderful feast day. It's the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, and it's also a double Norbertine, a double dip with the Norbertines today. Father Hugh Barber, the chaplain at Catholic Answers, is here the first hour, and in the second hour, Father Sebastian Walsh will join us, also a Norbertine. In the second hour, we're going to talk about something that is growing in importance in our culture, in a bizarre way, but that's the way the world goes sometimes. We're going to talk about gender and faith and a lot of the confusion that's out there. But in this first hour, when I was the regular host of this show, it was one of my favorite programs. The Chaplain is In. We give you the opportunity on a regular basis on Catholic Answers Live to have access to a priest to talk about really more or less the spiritual life, the moral life, the prayer life, you know, getting through life, with peace and joy in our hearts. We can do apologetics, we can do faith questions, all of that. And Father Hugh Barber can certainly handle those. But again, when we have a priest on the program, it's an opportunity for you to call in. Just imagine it this way. If you could just go up to your local rectory and ring the doorbell and say, "Father, can I have a few minutes with you? There's something on my heart." And Father said, "Absolutely, come on in." Well, that's what we do for you right here. So here's the phone number, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Father Hugh Barber, again, is a Norbertine. He is at St. Michael's Abbey in Southern California and is the chaplain at Catholic Answers. Father, it's good to be working with you. How are you?
Great, just great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, thank God. Yeah. Making it through the day, and sometimes that's a victory in and of itself. So, I want to get those phone lines going here. 888-318-7884 is the number for you to call in and run your questions by Father Hugh Barber. He is a priest, and he has got a lot of wisdom and can help you with the spiritual life, moral questions, relationships, you know, marriage, things going on, raising your kids, that kind of stuff. And, Father, before we get to the phones, as they are being screened right now, one of my favorite feast days, too, is today, the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. I have been to a couple of Marian shrines, Mexico City being the other one, but that was part of a summer that I spent in Mexico studying Spanish. The only apparition site that I ever felt, if you can put it this way, Our Lady calling me to go to was Lourdes, and I had a great experience there. I imagine you've probably been there. What is the significance of this feast day for the Church?
Well, it's very interesting that Pope Benedict, when he was just Cardinal Ratzinger, wrote some very deep considerations on the relation of private revelations to public revelation. And we see in the event of Lourdes an almost, you could say, practically a biblical, in style, a biblical confirmation of the Church's doctrinal definition of Our Lady's Immaculate Conception, with prophetic visions, crowds of people coming, miraculous healings, all kinds of signs that confirmed the witness of the faith given by Pope Pius IX in 1854 when he defined the Immaculate Conception. So the little girl, Bernadette, Saint Bernadette, could not have known about the definition. She was not at that point in her life particularly well instructed in the faith, and she had rudimentary instruction. She knew how to say her rosary, which for reasons unexplained to me had six decades. But if someone can explain to me out there in radio land and whatever you want to call it, why they have six decades in the rosary in the Pyrenees. But anyway, she had the practice of the faith, the basic practice of the faith, but Our Lady revealed herself to her as the Immaculate Conception. And she asked for a church to be built there and for the pilgrims to come. And then, of course, she directed her to dig for the stream, for the waters of Lourdes. And so it in a very biblical way, which what I mean by biblical is concrete, highly symbolic, but effective in the lives of people. And, you know, there's no place in Europe that is more visited than Lourdes. Lourdes is, and that's why the world doesn't cover this. If you look at travel magazines, you're not going to see articles every year on Lourdes, but more people go to Lourdes every year than any other destination in Europe. And you consider how many tourists there are. But they're people, simple people with great faith who come there. They go across the continent just to go to Lourdes. They pass by Paris. They pass by Toulouse. They go to Lourdes, and then they go home. The Irish are famous for that, these trains, but also from other parts, busloads of people from Italy, from Spain, from all over, and then, of course, not to mention people that come from other continents. So it's quite a continuing phenomenon, and I agree with you, the feel of that shrine is just uncanny. You know, personally, Fatima seems a little bit stark and dry. I've been there, but Lourdes has this very, you know, mountainy, welcoming atmosphere that just makes you really feel like Our Lady is there. So I'm of one accord with you.
Wonderful. Well, Father, we have a lot of calls ready to go to,
if
you are set for that.
Sure.
Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett today. By the way, you can catch me on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie Monday through Friday at noon Eastern and a replay at midnight Eastern on many of these same EWTN stations. And we have Father Hugh Barber, the chaplain, is in this hour of Catholic Answers Live. And we'll start with Michael in Houston listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Welcome to the show, Michael, with Father Hugh Barber.
Hello,
Michael.
Thank you for taking my hello,
sure.
Father. My question's a little different, but I'm just hoping you can give me some words of encouragement.
Sure.
Pray for me and my wife. Recently, we lost a pet puppy that we only had a few months, and it was our first animal owning together, and we really took his death really hard, and we both blame ourselves probably more than we should for his death. And so I was just calling to see if you could give us some words of encouragement. I know it's just a dog, but that's why I was calling, Father.
Well, I think that what you're experiencing is part of the natural role of human beings on this earth. You know, God gave to Adam in the beginning the task of naming all the animals, and it was by knowing the natures of the different animals that were presented to him that he learned also that there were none among them who were fit to be his companion, and that led to the revelation of woman. And so all the animals presented, they had their share in this particular discovery. So, and God gave to us the job of filling the earth and subduing it and tending the garden, as it were. And so there's a natural tendency on the part of human beings to want to take care of and have a relationship with the lower creation, which God has given to us from the beginning. And of course, pets are kind of a high version of that, because they're not just simply being used for work or for food or for other products that come from their bodies, but rather there's kind of a humanized relationship where you simply have the pet in order to have the pet. You know, he's not performing any practical tax for you. Quite the contrary. You're the one that has to work for the pet usually, you know. So I think it's natural that people would mourn, because there's just inbuilt in our nature this interest and concern for the animal world. And so the fact that you feel bad, you shouldn't think that that's exaggerated or anything. But one has to consider also that they find their perfection in us. That is, they last forever, but they last forever because of the merit of our kindness to them under God, performing the task of caring for them and giving them a pleasant life, much more pleasant than most animals. And that's, you know, that's something which has a certain merit. There were saints that had pets. You know, Pius XII had canaries, which he let out of the cave in the morning, out of the cage in the morning, and let fly around the bathroom while he shaved. And of course, many beautiful stories of the saints and their relationship with the animals. In a way, it's a call back to the innocence of man before the fall, when there was that peaceful relationship in God's earthly kingdom between man and the animal world. So just realize that that's perfectly reasonable. It shows that you're good, reasonable, kind people. Does that help?
Okay, Father, thank you. Yes,
okay.
Sir, I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, Michael,
God bless
thank you,
sure.
you, and we will certainly pray, and I'm sure it's crossed your mind to perhaps get another pet for the
right.
house that might help to take away some of that loss that you're feeling.
Yeah.
Okay, the chaplain is in, 888-318-7884 here on Catholic Answers Live. Going to Omaha next to talk with Vince, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Hello, Vince, welcome.
Hello, Father, thank you for
Love
taking
Vince.
My
Great.
Call.
Sure.
My question was with regard to spiritual direction for lay people. Seems like some of the saints suggest that, you know, pretty much everybody should have a spiritual director, but, you know, I don't see how that would be possible, just given scheduling of priests, their availability and whatnot. But I've also been, you know, personally kind of drawn to it recently. I've started reading Introduction to the Devout Life, and it started
yes, of course.
For the first
Wonderful.
Time really having kind of a personal prayer life. And so I've been thought about reaching out to some people. I'm deeply attracted to the extraordinary form of the Mass and kind of more traditional aspect of the faith. I don't know if it's necessary to reach out to somebody who shares that spirituality, I guess, or not. I'm just kind of looking for some insight on that.
Well, that's great. You started out, I started that way too when in my early teens. I started out with Introduction to the Devout Life. My dad had a copy that he had as a young man. And I read it, and that was the thing that really struck me, is that you're supposed to have you make a general confession and have a spiritual director, you know, right in the beginning, you know. And so I called one priest that I knew, who I thought might work, and he was a little reluctant. He said, well, you're awfully young. And then he gave in, and he gave me an awful lot of help until I went off to college. And so I was very grateful for that. But the fact is nowadays, and you may have sensed this as well, those works, because that's written in the 17th century, the 1600s, those works were written when, in Catholic areas at least, there were many, many priests. That is, there were confessions being heard daily in the churches. There were priests who basically their only job was to say Mass in the morning and then hear confessions all day. And so there was more availability of a stable spiritual director than there is now. Now, depending on where you live, I mean, it's almost impossible to find anybody. So what I recommend to people is, first of all, remember that the Holy Spirit is the principal director of souls. And so we can always nourish our hearts with solid spiritual reading. And you've done it the right way. You begin with someone who has the initials before their name and not after. You know, ST is better than PhD, you know. So the saints and doctors of the church and the mystics, these people will always be able to nourish our souls because we live with them in the community of saints. And then if you're looking for a spiritual director to help you go along the steps recommended in the Introduction to the Devout Life, what I would recommend is if there's a religious community near you that has a number of priests, or there's someplace where a number of priests, just a few or whatever, regularly hear confessions, you can try to, you know, go to confession to them and just see with which priest you kind of have a certain sympathy. And then after a while, ask if the priest would be happy to see you for spiritual direction. But I wouldn't jump right in, because sometimes priests nowadays, since we're fewer and have many duties, it's harder just to accept someone cold. You like to know about them and their relative need, you know. Now, generally, a request for spiritual direction from a man is much less common than from a woman. I was a prior of an abbey for 22 years, and we had lots of priests, and we have confessions every evening. And I got to the point where I had on my voicemail in the prior's office, at the end of my message, I said, if this question is about obtaining a spiritual director, please come regularly to the abbey for confession, and after some time then address yourself to whichever priest you find helpful. But I can't just assign spiritual directors to people sight unseen. So it's a little bit of a struggle, but the thing is, if you give it to our Lord, particularly Our Lady, in prayer, and ask her to direct you to the priest that can be good for your soul, she'll do so eventually. Recognizing, of course, that the Holy Spirit is the principal director of souls. And certainly, you don't want to pick a priest who's unsympathetic with your preference for the traditional Mass. You don't want that, you know, because that'll kind of, you know, wilt your heart right away. So I would just do it with confidence, but trust that the Lord who's made you have these desires will in some way fulfill them, because the inclinations that you're feeling are definitely from the Holy Ghost, and they're graces that our Lord has given you. And so he'll bless you for responding to them. And just without anxiety, just pursue the possibilities. But it's not absolutely necessary to have a spiritual director. What's more necessary is at certain points in our life, we receive serious direction in view of putting our spiritual life in order or making major life decisions and so on. But just keep looking and praying, and you'll receive all you need from the God who's the giver of every good gift.
Yeah, and we will pray for you, Vince, as well. Thanks for a great question. Thanks for the call. John and Jose and Simon are waiting to get on with Father Hugh Barber here. The chaplain is in. Phone lines are open for you if you have a question for the Catholic Answers chaplain, who is made your chaplain here on the program on a regular basis. The number is 888-318-7884. If you'd like to get on board, please do join us, talking about the spiritual life, the moral life, daily life, things like that. And really to help you get along, not only get along in life, but to thrive. You know, we're made to have life in abundance, as the Bible says. And Catholic Answers has so many different resources and opportunities for you to do that. And they've issued you the 20 Answers Challenge. And I'm here to extend that challenge, that invitation to you right now. Hundreds have already signed up, and we want to know, will you be joining us this year? Here's how it works. When you purchase the sampler of all 32 books in the series, that's the 20 Answers series, and what it is, it's 20 answers to questions on different faith topics, sacraments, Mary, prayer, moral questions, things like that. When you get the sampler of all 32 books in the series, you're going to save right now 60% off the normal price. And Catholic Answers is challenging you to finish them all this Lent and Easter season. Now, come on, you can certainly do that. Lent begins March 6th. It's coming right up. And then you're going to get free shipping if you live in the continental United States. So that's 60% off every set you purchase, plus free shipping, plus a soul that has expanded in love and hope and faith and charity and all of that during the Lenten and Easter seasons from your friends at Catholic Answers. Take the challenge. Order your set today. It's a great way to build up your faith knowledge. You can find out more online at theshop.catholic.com. We'll be right back.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Now, not only can you watch EWTN anywhere, but anytime with EWTN On Demand. Get on-demand access to more than 12,000 EWTN programs, including live shows and specials, all in one place, all free. Just go to EWTN.com/on-demand. There's nothing to fill out, no memberships required, and no fees to pay. All you need is an internet connection, and you're good to go. EWTN On Demand. Fast, easy, and free.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Catholic Answers Live. What would an apostolate like Catholic Answers be without a chaplain? And he is currently Father Hugh Barber, a Norbertine from just up the road in El Toro, California, St. Michael's Abbey. And if you would like to get on the air with him and ask him whatever is maybe puzzling you about life, the spiritual life, moral questions, maybe you're just really deeply burdened about something right now, or you just want to tweak a little understanding of the spiritual life, 888-318-7884. And just real quickly, I wanted to mention, too, on that Catholic Answers Challenge, the 32 samplers, you can order it by phone as well. You might know the customer service line if you're a regular listener. It's 888-291-8000, 888-291-8000. The team in customer service is standing by right now, and they are fast, friendly, and efficient. And if you prefer to do that, you can do that on the shop at Catholic.com as well. Okay, we're going to go, as promised, to John in New Orleans. Hi, John, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. You're on with Father Hugh Barber.
Hey, Father. Thank you, John, for taking my call.
Happy to.
I appreciate it. I had a kind of a predicament come up with some good friends of my wife and I, and our kids play together. Basically, I was kind of sporadically invited to attend a Bible study with a men's only Bible study with this friend who is a non-denominational Christian. It's not I guess, Protestant, or, you know, it's just a non-denominational Christian church. We had previously had discussions about Christianity, and he seemed to ask me a lot of questions about, you know, the Catholic faith, and he seemed very receptive. But I guess I went to my priest before Mass, after I got his text yesterday, and my priest was kind of just like, well, tell him, you know, do his faith, and, you know, let him know, you know, that's great that he's doing a Bible study, but that, you know, you do your faith and he'll do his, type of a thing. So I kind of did that, but then I was laying in bed last night and I was kind of tossing and turning, and I was thinking, well, maybe I should do more. Maybe I should try to, you know, let him know that he could be in communion with Christ a little better if he was Catholic. You know, and it seems like, you know, there's some scripture that would back that up, as far as, like, with the Pope and, you know, letting him know about on this rock, you know, I put my church, mm-hmm. that he told Peter that, and then, you know, Christ later saying about the Eucharist, you know, my flesh is true food. If you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have life within you. I don't know how people can do Bible study, I guess, and not read over that or, like, misinterpret it.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know if I should, like, try to talk to him about it or if I should just leave it alone. And, you know, I don't know. I was just a little conflicted about it. And I just wanted, I guess, to get your thoughts about it. And I'm sure, like, some other people who listen to the program have had similar experiences.
Well, sure. It's very common that these Bible studies, usually men only or women only, they're very widespread, and they very often invite Catholics, unfortunately, because sometimes Catholics don't have alternatives of their own, or they haven't been introduced to them. But first of all, you know, your friend, they say non-denominational Christian. Well, that basically means Protestant. Just remember that. They say that they're not denomination, but that doesn't mean that they don't have a theology. They're basically Protestants, usually of the mildly Calvinist sort. And so it's Protestantism. And usually they call themselves Christians. They don't want to call themselves Protestants. But, of course, we're also Christians. And you hear people nowadays going, well, are you Catholic or Christian? They go, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm also a Catholic. Because Catholic means Christian, but that's just a side point. Non-denominational equals Protestant, basically. But they may not know that, but that's the way it is. They don't like to say it. But as far as going to the Bible study, I would generally advise against it. But I would do what you kind of intimate that you were doing. That is, you praise his interest in the Scriptures and his willingness to study them, and then use that as an opportunity to maybe give him something to read that presents an Orthodox Catholic perspective on aspects of the Bible that they normally miss. And we have lots of things, even these 20 answers things that we have here, there are a whole bunch of them that refer and give lots of biblical references to different issues that trouble Protestants about Our Lady, about the Pope, about the Eucharist, and so on. So, and just use an opportunity to offer him something, but something physical, like a little booklet or something, you know, on the Catholic faith that gives the biblical warrants for what we believe. I think that would be a good thing to do. And then pray for him, of course. But I think, generally speaking, I don't recommend participation in non-Catholic Bible studies because, you know, you need to have a lot of apologetic knowledge in order to respond to what would be kind of a different religious tradition that does not understand the way the church uses the Scriptures. So that's my advice. But stay close to him as a friend and encourage him. But I would say you're probably right not going to the Bible study.
All right, John, I hope that helps. In New Orleans, thank you so much, brother, for your phone call.
Sure.
And, Father, right before we get set for this break, which is coming up in a little less than 2 minutes, for somebody like John and for other Catholics who are listening, you know, maybe we're not as well known as our separated brothers and sisters for having Bible studies and being so zealous and passionate about the Scriptures. Not everybody can start one, but maybe that's something John or people like that could just bring up with their pastor and say, you know, Father, could we possibly have something like a Bible study here in the parish?
Yeah, good. Yeah.
And I know a lot of people who have done that. And actually, Father, I'm sure you've probably seen this too. They realize that they have a gift that perhaps they didn't recognize, you know, before mm-hmm. that. So God can call people from a lot of different circumstances and situations, just like John, and who knows what could happen from that.
Yeah, he guides us through our desires, so it's a good thing to follow through on that. Great advice.
Yeah. Father Hugh Barber is here with us. I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett. We have Jose in Tennessee, Simon in Amarillo, Texas, Jacob in Houston, Dan in St. Louis, and Wendy. All right, Wendy in Tulsa, listening on St. Michael Radio. All of you are going to get your turn at Father Hugh Barber today on Catholic Answers Live. And we're going to talk about gender and faith in hour number two, and that is with Father Sebastian Walsh. He is also a Norbertine. So we got a second hour coming up and still a lot more of this first hour. The chaplain is in, 888-318-7884, to ask Father Hugh Barber your question.
Catholic Answers Live.
Is the church wrong on contraception? In a culture that worships the pursuit of sexual pleasure, the Catholic Church's teaching on contraception can seem archaic and unintelligible. Its critics say it's outdated, theologically unfounded, and even harmful. And even faithful Catholics can have difficulty explaining this moral teaching. Catholic Answers is out to change all of that. That's why we've just released Trent Horn's dynamic new DVD, The Case Against Contraception. Using scripture, papal and magisterial teachings, natural law, and new insights provided by social science and medicine, Trent puts forward a compelling case for Catholic teachings with his trademark charity and persuasive graciousness. Be prepared to give a defense. Order your copy of The Case Against Contraception today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Author Mark McNeil spent years in the Oneness Pentecostal movement, praying in its lively services, zealously spreading its unconventional teachings, and rejecting mainstream Christianity as misguided. Then he left it all behind. All in the Name is the story of a man who believed he was among an elite group of believers who followed the true faith when so many others had strayed. But an inquisitive mind, careful study, and the action of the Holy Spirit finally led Mark out of Oneness Pentecostalism and into the Catholic Church. This is an inspiring conversion story you won't want to miss. It's a faith strengthener for Catholics and an intriguing challenge to those who deny the doctrine of the Trinity. Order your copy of All in the Name today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic? Let's talk about it on Call to Communion tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
And today that means back to your questions for the chaplain at Catholic Answers. The chaplain is in, and he is accessible to you right now, and Jose has something to run by Father Hugh Barber first after the break here from Tennessee, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Jose. Welcome.
Hello, Jose.
Thank you, Jerry. Hi, Father. Well, I got a very difficult situation with a long story, but I'll try to make it short. My wife was brought up with very, very little catechesis.
Mm-hmm.
And then after almost 25 years of being married, she has pretty much kicked me out of the house because she doesn't want me to talk about the Bible. She doesn't want me to talk about the Catholic faith. She says all she believes is in God and the Lady of Guadalupe, and that's enough for her. Basically because my mother's... Well, she claims that my mother is involved with our marriage, but yet we haven't seen my mother since 2010 when my second daughter had gotten married. And this last, I'm a truck driver, so this last time when I was home, she just kept asking questions as to why I didn't change many years ago and what's the difference between then and now. And I said, well, I just believe that let the past be the past, and let's look forward to it. I mean, it doesn't seem relatives that we should always go back to the past of the stuff that happened in the past. But she got upset and pretty much threw me out of the house, which was easier to do being a truck driver because I got to get out and make some money.
Yeah. Well, I think you've got several layers of issues here, and I would probably imagine that the religious things, the religious aspect, is more a symptom than a cause. I think that you have to look into the sources of your wife's dissatisfaction and try to talk things out with her. And you're definitely not in a good position to talk to her about our religion or try to dissuade her or prove that she's wrong because she's not disposed to hear it. And, you know, you can't convince someone that doesn't want to hear. And so for that, you have to commend her to prayer and just tell her, well, you know, you believe in God and Our Lady of Guadalupe, so let's pray together to our God and Our Lady of Guadalupe that somehow our difficulties can be overcome and that we can love each other and live peacefully. And just, you know, challenge her that way. I mean, the best way to work with someone that you're disagreeing with is to agree to or to concede some points that they're making that are true. And so to the extent to which she says she believes in God and Lady of Guadalupe, well, that's good. So you can start with that and not give her any heat about right now about not going to Mass or trying to instruct her or convince her, because I don't think that it doesn't sound like she's going to be very open to that. But through the power of prayer, and since you're driving, you know, you can say a lot of rosaries on the road without paying as much attention as you would when you were praying the rosary in church, of course, but still praying the rosary. And just pray for the healing of your relationship and whatever all that stuff is, because it's true, things are in the past, but in people's feelings, their imagination, their emotions, they're always being repeated over and over again in their feelings. So to them, it's real, you know. And you may have gotten beyond certain things, but she may be still living with them. And so what's real about it is the fact that she presently feels the way she does, even though it's a past event that no longer exists, but it has an effect on her, whatever those events are. And so I just give you the advice that when you have someone who's somehow hurt or wounded or offended, it doesn't help to tell them why their feelings don't make any sense. That's not the way to go. You try to accept that they feel the way they do and then just listen to them, go on about it and prayerfully listen to them. And then in a kind of non-directive way, without telling you what to do, just answer her back, repeating what she's just said to you, like, now, do I hear you saying this, this, and this? Have I understood you correctly? And then she can say yes, and then she'll begin to feel like she's being sympathetically listened to. But if you just respond to all of her statements, which are wrong, and they may well be wrong, you know, but if you just respond to them and try to correct them or fix them, she's going to be frustrated because she's not going to feel like anyone's listening to her. Especially women, they really, really want to feel like somebody's listening. And so it just gently, when you talk to her, just reflect back to her what she said to you, if she's willing to talk, and so that she finally gets to the point that you're listening and that you're concerned about her and you want your relationship to be healed and whatnot. And when you back that up with the prayer, especially prayer to Our Lady, you'll get some results eventually. Because the only obstacle would be is if she doesn't accept the graces that God is certainly going to give her. If you pray as her husband, you're her head in Christ, she's going to get those graces if you intercede for her. So we just have to pray that she accepts them. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. It makes sense.
Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah.
These things don't happen overnight, you know? But don't be discouraged. The devil's behind all this discord in marriage and whatnot. And so it's not like we're totally to blame. There are instigations from the enemy of our salvation and happiness. So we just have to keep struggling. But keep in mind, what will be helpful to her to make her more open to what you have to offer. And the corrections will come later.
Which all right, Jose.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call from Tennessee. Be safe out there on the road. And as you pray those rosaries, remember all of us and the folks at Catholic Answers Live and our listeners, if you'd be so kind. We are on iHeartRadio, and that's how Simon in Amarillo, Texas, is listening to Catholic Answers Live. Hello, Simon. You're on with Father Hugh Barber.
Hey, thank you so much. Good
afternoon. Hey, Simon. Great. Great. How are you?
Hey, Father. I have a quick question. I'm getting into contemplation prayer, and I'm just trying to figure out, you know, where to start with this. Maybe some things to avoid, any tips you might have, especially when it comes to, like, I find myself either super distracted or falling asleep, somewhere in between those places.
Oh, it's funny. You're the only one in the world like that.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to do a good job. But I'm kind of just grasping at a bunch of different resources and books, and I just kind of want to find out maybe where to start and especially maybe what to avoid. You know, I was coming across some like things that seem pretty un-Catholic in some places, and I was like, you know what, I just need to call and get a direct answer.
Well, first of all, you do need some spiritual reading to help you with contemplative prayer, and probably starting out reading about prayer is probably the way to begin. There are wonderful things. I mean, there's St. Francis de Sales' Introduction to Devout Life. There's a wonderful book called Conversation with Christ, which presents an overview of the Carmelite tradition, which is, you know, an established tradition in the Church of how to organize your contemplative prayer in terms of meditation and so on. And that's a method I generally recommend to people if they're getting started, because it's the simplest. And that sort of, because it's basically, you know, very simple steps with doing the reading and then thinking about the reading and then making a conversation with Our Lord or Our Lady or the saints, whoever, about what you've been considering. And that seems to be the best to me. But then the other point related to that is don't get too stuck on a method, because this is really simply conversation with the Lord. But since we don't see him, we do see him by faith. It requires a certain effort of faith on our part, since we don't, our senses are not being normally affected all that much. So we need the help of spiritual reading to keep us going. St. Teresa of Avila is a great doctor of prayer. And of course, her writings are excellent too, Interior Castle. But that one book is called Conversation with Christ. It's by, I think the name is Rohrbach, but anyway, but Conversation with Christ, I'm sure they have it on Amazon or someplace. It's an old classic, and it goes over everything really well. Just to get started in that way, not focusing on the effort, the method too much, but remembering what St. Teresa says. She says, meditate or contemplation is conversation with one whom we know loves us. And that's a conversation with Christ. And that's really what it's all about. And that's why the book is called That Conversation with Christ. It's perfect. So just keep that in mind, that you can't really do it wrong. If you go before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament or in the quiet of your room and you recollect yourself a little bit and then do some spiritual reading from the Gospels and just mull that over in your heart and think about whatever strikes you. And if something strikes you, then sit there with it and then pray and ask God about it and consider what direction you might have for your life and all of that. And then at the end, thank him and consider how you're going to apply what you thought to your actions throughout the day. But I would just say that Conversation with Christ is probably the best manual that's easily accessible.
Okay, Simon, how's that sound?
Great, thank you so much.
Sure,
yeah,
God bless you.
That helps a lot.
Yeah, sure, peace. Oh, there's another book too I would really recommend. It's called Divine Intimacy. And that's a set of meditations following the liturgical year that once you get started, it provides you with the material for every day of the liturgical year. And it's by Carmelite Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene. The old version, which is back in print, I like better than the new one. But the new one has the benefit that it's arranged according to the three-year cycle of the Gospels and the two-week cycle of the readings, whereas the old one follows the old calendar. But they're both really beautiful and valuable and enrich your life with all kinds of things from the saints. It's called Divine Intimacy.
Thank you, Father Hugh. Fountain of information and helpful resources there. Okay, Dan in St. Louis, don't go anywhere. Will, we're going to get Will on the line here as well. And you can call in. The chaplain is in here. Hour number one of this Monday, Catholic Answers Live, 888-318-7884 is the number if you'd like that open phone line. And something that I did right just about a couple of hours before the program today, I downloaded my free ebook from Catholic Answers. And if you're wondering how to develop a deeper interior life, what Father Hugh was just talking about, he gave you some great leads on that as well. And Catholic Answers has a very easy to understand, very digestible new ebook. It's brand new. And if you go to the Catholic Answers Facebook page or shop.catholic.com now, and you can download this free copy of Growing Closer to God, What is the Interior Life? That is the name of that resource, Growing Closer to God, What is the Interior Life? And Father, just real quickly from you, something that many of us, even devout practicing Catholics, may not fully appreciate is the need to cultivate the interior life, especially in today's world. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. The idea that mental prayer, as it's called, or contemplation, is some sort of special activity that only certain people do is not what the Church actually teaches. The Church teaches, Vatican II makes it very clear, that all the faithful are called to the perfection of charity and the heights of sanctity. And so everyone is called to a contemplative life. And it's not just for certain privileged souls, but it's for all the faithful, each one in his own station and place in life. But everyone is meant to have that time with the Lord, to come apart with him, and to rest with him and commune with him in a more personal way. So yes, absolutely. It's essential.
Yeah. I can't wait to dive into this. It's called Growing Closer to God. What is the Interior Life? And it's yours absolutely free right now. Go to the Catholic Answers Facebook page or shop.catholic.com and download your free copy. Jerry Usher here for Cy Kellett, and more of your questions for Father Hugh Barber coming right up.
Hello, this is Bishop Jeffrey Monfort, Bishop of the Diocese of Steubenville. Make sure you keep it on Catholic Answers Live. God bless you.
Catholic Radio gives us an opportunity to become part of a larger family. It can be so lonely when we are struggling in our faith or just try to live our faith on our own. But Catholic Radio connects us to that larger community of faith where we're able to get the support, the encouragement, and the grace that we need to not just struggle on, but to really celebrate all the blessings that God brings into our life through our Catholic faith.
Dr. Greg Popcheck thinks Catholic Radio is important. So should you.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The chaplain is in, Catholic Answers chaplain, Father Hugh Barber, is here. And right before we go to Dan, Father, I see that Ellen from Virginia called in, and you were musing at the start of the hour about the six-decade rosary, and she says the sixth decade, Our Lady asked for that for the holy souls in purgatory. What a nice gift for those holy souls.
That's great. I'd like to see. I'll dig around for that, because that's a wonderful explanation to that. So I will... I'll see if I can find the story. Yeah, there's a website with friends of the suffering souls that has all these purgatory stories. It might have that one. I'll look for it.
In the meantime, we go to St. Louis. Covenant Network is the source for Dan listening to Catholic Answers Live. Hi, Dan. Welcome aboard.
Hey, thank
Hello,
you.
Hello, Dan.
So my question. Thank you. My question is: I'm trying to get a better understanding of Jesus's agony in the garden, in light of the teaching that, you know, we're not supposed to have fear and, you know, trust in God. And I just didn't understand how those two can be reconciled?
Oh, okay. Well, that's a very good question, and the answer sort of goes like this: that we all have fundamental emotions that are part of our human nature, and fear is one of them, because we naturally are supposed to fear things that are evil or bad for us, and so it's, you know, if we didn't fear those things, we wouldn't avoid them, and so. But what our Lord is talking about, he says, do not fear. He's talking about an inordinate or exaggerated fear that's rooted in our fallen nature, where the emotion has been exaggerated or is not reasonable anymore. But there are certain fears that are perfectly reasonable because the evils that are threatening us are truly contrary to the basic good of our nature. And so men naturally fear, say, like the death of their children, or the loss of all their property, or even their loss of natural life. And it's only in a higher view where they can experience that fear of those things and yet have utter and complete confidence in God and submission to His holy will, that they can both have the fear and yet at the same time accept God's will. And that's, of course, we see that in the agony of the garden. Our Lord says, you know, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. And St. Thomas says that our Lord's fear and sorrow there were fear that's practically rooted in our nature, that at that point when he allowed his soul to experience the full weight of the sins of the world, it would be impossible, it would be even unnatural for him not to experience fear, considering the evils that he had to endure for our salvation. But he accepted the Father's will. He was not resisting the Father's will through his fear. He was just enduring it and meriting thereby our salvation. So it's the saints had all the emotions that sinners have, but their emotions are properly ordered, and we sinners, they're not always properly ordered. And so when our Lord tells us not to fear, he's talking about the inordinate or exaggerated fear, or fear that implies no trust in God. Whereas the Lord had complete trust and submission to the Father's will, but he endured in his very body the effects of the specter of the suffering he was to endure and the sins of the world. There's a beautiful treatise by Cardinal Newman, which is, you can get it online, you could download it, it's on different websites and whatnot. It's called The Mental Sufferings of Our Lord in His Passion. If you did Newman, N-E-W-M-A-N, and then Mental Sufferings, you'd find it. And it's a beautiful treatise explaining how our Lord endured the agony of the garden. And it's very, very instructive.
Okay. How is that, Dan? Does that satisfy what you were looking for?
It was perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Sure.
Okay, thanks for calling. I'm just typing that in right now, Father, so I don't forget to look that up later.
It's a wonderful treatise. You'll love it.
I took a course on Cardinal Newman in college at Steubenville, and I'm not sure I came across that, so I'm going to read that one.
Yeah.
All right, Will in doesn't say where Will is, but he is on the line today on Catholic Answers Live with Father Hugh Barber. Hello, Will. We're glad that to have you with us. Welcome.
Hello, Will.
Thank you, Father. I am basically, short story, I haven't been in the Catholic Church for 41 years. I'm 63. I left the Catholic Church for the Orthodox. I have wandered madly over the 41 years, moved a couple times, but I've mostly been Orthodox. For the last few years, I haven't been churched at all. I feel strongly called to come home to the Catholic Church, partially because of an addiction to Catholic radio. here's my problem. I've discovered that I don't kneel or sit. I bow and stand. I make the sign of the cross funny. I've really become Byzantine, and the three Byzantine Rite churches in my area, I'm sorry to say, they're sort of aging ethnic enclaves. And even though I'm aging, the Orthodox churches I was in were very vital, one of them had a large group of Eritreans. So cultural diversity, kids, all that, that to me is church. But I don't feel comfortable in the Western Rite, and I'm trying to find how do I get back in.
Well, I'm assuming you live someplace like Ohio or Pennsylvania or something like that. And is it that?
I live in an area where there are some Byzantine churches, but as I said, aging.
Yeah. Well, the important thing is to return to the community of the Catholic Church, and at least the Byzantine Rite parishes you go to would correspond to your expectations about worship, at least some of them. And of course, the thing to do is to go, make a good confession, and then bring a friend. You know, maybe what you need to do is find somebody whom you know that's willing to go with you, or you might want to introduce to the parish there or something. And just because if you enter there, you know, you'll also contribute to the community. I'm sure the priest would be very sympathetic with your wanting to return to the Catholic Church and yet wanting to return by going to a Byzantine Rite parish, since that's the rite that you practiced for so many years as Orthodox. But I definitely know that you would find the current Roman Rite as it's celebrated in most parishes, you wouldn't really like it very much. Maybe you would like the liturgies in the extraordinary form. There may be some around there that have a little more of that atmosphere, but still the standing and the sign of the cross and the devotional practices that you're used to, there's no need for you to give those up because they're all perfectly Catholic. But I would just, you know, talk to the priest in those parishes and see which one is the most sympathetic and then go with it. That's what I would do, you know, because, you know, we just have to make do with what's available. So, and it seems like your liturgy is your main concern there. So I would say, you know, go with that and you may be just what they need, you know.
What do you think, Will? Is that sound reasonable enough for you?
Yeah, I needed a place to start, and that's it. So thank you, Father.
Yeah, God bless you. Just do that.
Yeah, and Will, while you're still on the line, Will, we'll let you go on this because we got to wrap up hour number one here. But Catholic Answers also has a staff of people people on staff, I should say. We call it the Apologists line. We have a limited amount of time. Father Hugh gave you great advice there, and it's a good place to start. And we're glad that you're going to be able to take him up on that. As you return to the church, if you have questions about the faith, you need clarification on anything in particular, you can always call the office at 619-387-7. And speak at greater length with any of the staff apologists. And Father Hugh, we have other calls that we just aren't going to be able to get to this hour, unfortunately. But if you would close with your priestly blessing, we'd be very grateful.
Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendat super vos et maniat semper. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father, for your time, not only on the air, but as the chaplain at Catholic Answers. Having worked there one time, I remember very well how important it was that we had a priest on staff. So thanks for being there.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you. God bless.
Okay. We will have another Norbertine for you in the second hour of the program. We're going to talk about gender and faith. My, oh my, it's come to this, ladies and gentlemen. And how many of us thought we would live to see some of the confusion that we see in the world today, right now? And that's not to judge anybody or criticize anybody, but there has to be the truth. The truth has to be spoken, of course, in love. And Father Sebastian Walsh is going to answer your questions about gender and faith in the next hour. So if you want to get on board for that, you can start calling 888-318-7884. We're going to talk about what gender has to do with our faith, how fundamental that is to us. There's so much confusion today. Maybe you want to know how to talk to people who are mixed up about this straightforward issue. A lot of young people are being misguided and confused about gender. Maybe you even know young people who are expressing doubts about their birth gender, things like this. So we want to have a conversation about this, again, in love, but also in truth, of course. So 888-318-7884 is the number to get on board. And do not forget, while we have this top of the hour break going on right here, you can answer the 20 Answers Challenge and sign up 60% off the normal price and free shipping if you live in the continental U.S. 32 of the books in the 20 Answers series. Get all of them in the sampler, and we're challenging you to make your way through them during Lent and Easter. And you can also get your free ebook which I just did. You can go to the Catholic Answers Facebook page and learn more about that. I'm Jerry Escher in for Cy Kellett. We're coming right back.